Brethren, I think if we look into the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ contained in the Gospel, we find many episodes there that have tremendous meaning for us. The lessons abound. And when we study even the smallest of them, we could find some great significance and meaning for us. We could find even more layers of understanding that we can apply to ourselves and even the smallest of stories in the Gospel. And one such story that we're going to look at today is in Luke chapter 17. I'll ask you to start turning there to Luke 17. And you might want to keep a place in Luke 17 because we're going to go here a couple times throughout the message. This is an episode in the story where Jesus Christ cleanses a group of lepers, a group of 10 lepers. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And in a story like this, we could find very much meaning. We could just let the Bible speak for itself and help us to understand, draw out deep spiritual lessons and understanding from the scripture by looking at this episode in Christ's ministry. So what I'll do first is just read through this. It's in Luke 17, and it's only 9 verses long. It begins in verse 11 in Luke 17, 9 verses, and I'll read through it, and then we'll go through it step by step after that. So verse 11 starting, and now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men, lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. It's a beautiful story. And the obvious lesson in there, brethren, is that we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. That is the singular main point for us that we could take from this story, to have thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us. Well, we're going to examine this story today and find the deeper lessons. I'm going to call this message today, the title of it, The Grateful Leper. The Grateful Leper. So let's go through again, and we're going to start over and start in verse 11. If you look there again and read, I'll read through and comment as we go. And now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So where was Jesus going? Obviously, he was going to Jerusalem. But this wasn't just any of the several trips during the ministry of Jesus Christ. This was his last trip to Jerusalem before his crucifixion. And so he knew full well what awaited him. He knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. But what is he doing? He's carrying on his ministry. So right off the top, we can get a lesson from this, brethren, that here is Jesus Christ, knowing what's going to come to him in Jerusalem, but he's carrying on. What a lesson for us, that we know that hard times are coming. They're going to be harder than they are now. And that is what is going to happen as we go through this period of the end. If God allows us to continue, we're going to endure hard times. What should we be doing? Just what Jesus Christ is doing by example. He's carrying on his ministry. And we have to likewise carry on with what we are called to do, each one of us. And so we could take that lesson right off the top. Let's Let's look while we're here in Luke. You know, remember, keep your place in Luke 17. What is the ministry of Jesus Christ? And we could go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, this was at the beginning of his ministry, where he announces in the city of Nazareth, as he's there in the city where he was raised, goes into the synagogue, Luke chapter 4, and he takes up or given the scroll of Isaiah to read. And we'll notice what he says, what he reads in verse 18 and 19 of Luke chapter 4. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it is significant for our story today. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And so this is what Christ is doing. He's continuing to do this as he's traveling through Samaria and Galilee. As verse 11 says, he's going through Samaria and Galilee. And now we know, brethren, from the scriptures, that Samaria was a region that was considered by the Jews to be a separate nation. The people living there were not of Israelite descent for the most part. Why is that? Well, let's go back and look in the scripture to 2 Kings. Come with me to 2 Kings chapter 17, and we'll see why the people living here in Samaria are not of Israelite descent. As we look at that scripture in Luke, this one leper who was healed and came back to Christ was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. So 2 Kings chapter 17, as we read here in verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 24. And then he says, or then the scripture reads, "The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities." So what's going on here? Who is the king of Assyria? Why is he doing this? Well, this is the time after Israel's fall. Israel was the northern 10 tribes taken into captivity, taken out of their land by the Assyrians in about 722 to 723 BC. And the king of Assyria puts foreigners in the land. Now, Israel was taken out for their disobedience, as we know. But he puts these foreigners in instead of the children of Israel. Now, this is an important part for the background of our story here today that we're examining. And so verse 25 reads, "At the beginning of their dwelling there, they did not fear the Lord," if you read verse 25. "And therefore the Lord lions among which killed some of them." The Lord sends lions among the people. Why is that happening? Well, because as you read in verse 26, the people were not following the rituals of the God of the land. This is the land that God had his eye on. This is the land that he promised to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the land into which he brought the children of Israel after their captivity in Egypt and bringing them through the wilderness, putting them in this land and giving them his laws. And these foreigners came in with no regard for God, nothing at all. And they had their own gods. But it was determined that they were having troubles. These lions were coming in among them, as verse 26 reads, because they were not following the rituals of the God of this land, which is the true God. And then verse 27 says, "The king of Assyria commanded and said, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Take one of those priests who was captive and let him go back. Let him dwell there and let him teach the rituals of the God of this land." And so, brethren, that's a bit of a background that we see foreigners in this area of Samaria, and they were taught the rituals of the God, the true God of this land. There was a priesthood there established. And so let's go back now. With that in mind, go back to Luke 17 and continue on with our story here. In Luke 17, we're going to start in verse 12. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, going through Samaria and Galilee, he enters a certain village, verse 12. And there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. They were lepers. They were afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They know who he is. They know who's entering their little village, because the word of him had spread about through all of that area. As we see throughout the Gospels, the word of him went out. And now this is toward the end of his ministry, so he's well known. And he's coming in their village, and they together, as they start crying out to him, believing that he could have mercy on them. Now, I imagine it must have been a pitiful cry from these lepers who are considered unclean. They are outside of the city, afar off, as it said, standing afar off, isolated there because of their disease, which is leprosy. But what is leprosy? Well, Merriam-Webster defines leprosy as a chronic condition or a chronic infectious disease caused by a bacterium, affecting especially the skin and peripheral nerves. It's bacteria that affects the skin and nerves. It is characterized by the formation of nodules on the skin that enlarge and spread, accompanied by the loss of sensation or the deadening of the nerves, and eventual paralysis, wasting of muscle, and the production of deformities. So leprosy begins with nodules on the skin that become open sores. And then what happens is the fingers and toes are affected, and the nerves in them begin to deaden. And eventually the fingers and the toes, they fall off. They become deformed and begin to fall off. It's a dreadful disease. In the World Health Organization today, states that leprosy is thought to spread by touching the diseased person and by the respiratory route. Does that sound familiar? By touching and by respirating, breathing. It sounds very familiar, doesn't it, brethren, to our situation today? Now, the disease today is very curable, very, very treatable with drugs, with a drug therapy that is administered to stop the spread of leprosy. But there wasn't such a cure at that time, not during this time. And numerous Bible commentators report that in Jesus' day, people were considered cursed by God if they were lepers. They were considered cursed by God for their sins. And Christ looked at them with pity. He looks at them with pity. Now, he had healed lepers at other times. One such story is in Mark chapter 1. So remember to hold your place here in Luke 17 and come with me to Mark chapter 1. And let's read a story, a very touching story, of another instance where Christ heals a leper. As he's going about, as you see there, doing his ministry, he says, "Let us go into the other cities, because for this I was called, for this I was brought forth," as he says there in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, you'll see that. And so let's look at verse 40 now. "So a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" This is a very reverent show. He's coming to him in faith, imploring, kneeling down, reverencing him, literally worshiping him, and expressing his faith. "If you are willing, you can make me clean. He has faith in God's power to heal through Jesus Christ. And then verse 41 says, Jesus, what is his response? If we come to God and confess our sins and kneel down and say, God, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. His response is what Jesus's is, compassion. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. He touched the leper and said, I am willing, be clean, be cleansed. So Jesus touched this leper who is unclean. But is he? The leper is immediately cleansed and Jesus touches him. As soon as he had spoken, verse 42 said, as soon as Jesus said, I am willing, be cleansed, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And then he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. This is what he said, verse 44. He says to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing for those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What is Christ talking about here? What does he mean, showing himself to the priest and offering an offering for being cleansed? Well, the answer to that is in Leviticus. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 13 now. And we'll see a few things here about leprosy and the role of the priest in determining leprosy. And the role of the priest in determining the cleansing. It's significant for us, brethren, for our understanding of what God has done for us, that he has cleansed us. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. I'll read a few verses there in verse 1. Leviticus 13. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin or his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of the sons of the priests. So either Aaron or one of his sons. You know, the line of Aaron continued perpetually. The line of priesthood continued through Aaron. So either Aaron or one of his descendants, one of his sons. And the priest, verse 3, shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. And if the hair on the sore is turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of the body, of his body, it is a leprous sore. And then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. So the priest makes the determination. He inspects the sore. Is it clean or is it unclean? That's very significant for our understanding of our salvation, brethren. And what the priest was doing here, physically speaking, was for the well-being of the population. Because if he's unclean, the population has to be protected because leprosy can spread by touch or even by breathing, according to science today. And that uncleanness, brethren, of what the leper is experiencing is a picture for us, a figure of the uncleanness that we all have, and that is the uncleanness of sin. So now let's go to Leviticus chapter 14, next chapter. I think I missed one. Yes, let's go to Leviticus 13, verse 44. Verse 44. So the priest makes a determination. He is a leprous man. So the whole of Leviticus 13 is talking about the various types of skin sores that could be leprous that the priest has to examine. And if it's determined he is leprous, then this is what the priest must do to pronounce him unclean. He is a leprous man, verse 44. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. And now, verse 45, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. So picture that. He's covering his mustache. What is he doing? Unclean, unclean. But those words are going out of his mouth, covering his breath. Interesting. Interesting for us today. And so now, verse 46, he shall be, verse 46, unclean. All the days that he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be where? Outside the camp. The leper has to go outside the camp because he's unclean. Could he ever come back? Yes, he can. He can be cleansed. And what happens now? What does the priest do when the leper is cleansed? The priest needs to go back and inspect him for his cleanness. So let's go to Leviticus 14 now. Read a few verses beginning in Leviticus 14, verse 1. And then the Lord said to Moses, saying, verse 1 of Leviticus 14, this shall be the law of the leopard for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest when he's cleansed. So he goes to the priest. But where does the priest go? The priest shall go outside the camp. He goes outside the camp. Why? Well, physically speaking, for the safety of the people in the camp. It's very significant for our brother, for our salvation, brethren. The priest goes outside the camp to where the leper is and meets him there and examines him. And if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then what does the leper do? Verse 4. The priest shall command to take for him who is cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And so the rest of chapter 14 explains more detail about the sacrifice that is to be offered for the cleansing of the leper. Very interesting for us, brethren. Outside the camp, this is to be done. Now let's come back to Luke 17 and begin in verse 14 again. Luke 17 and verse 14. So what does Christ say to the leper? When he saw them, verse 14, the 10 lepers, he says to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And so Christ is upholding the law of the land, the law which is in place for the safety of the people. Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, they went and they were cleansed. And one of them, verse 15, the grateful leper, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10? Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 17. Where are the 9? Were there not? And now you got a picture. Now, who is he saying this to? Who is he asking this question? Well, he's obviously asking the leper, but he's also asking those who were present as a witness, as a lesson for them. He says, were there not, verse 18, were there not any who returned? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Except this foreigner, this outcast, this second-class citizen, this stranger from Israel. But he's made righteous by God. How is he made righteous? Because he cried out in believing faith, believing in Christ's power to heal. And then what does he do? He comes and glorifies God, gives thanks to God for his freedom from the oppression of his leprosy. And remember in Leviticus 14, we read, when the leper is cleansed, he makes an offering of thanksgiving. And the grateful leper in this story is, in essence, going to the priest, our high priest, Jesus Christ, and offering him an offering of thanksgiving. You see how beautiful that is, how it ties so perfectly into the law that was put in place in Leviticus, how that law is a picture of what Christ is doing for us. He is our high priest. He is the one who cleanses us by our faith in him. We are like the grateful leper in this story. And so verse 19, he said to them, said to him, Jesus Christ said, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. His faith was what cleansed him. These are deep spiritual lessons for us, brethren. Since we have been cleansed through God's mercies, what do? We present ourselves to God. We take our bodies and present them to God. There's a very familiar verse. We read it frequently, refer to it very frequently, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read it to you here. See how this ties in with what God has done for us by his mercies. Paul writes, verse 1 of Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You've been made clean. You go to the priest and you present yourself clean before him. Now we see this story really taking on some depth in this story of the grateful leper. As we realize also in looking at the story that all men have the opportunity to come to God. All men, including this foreigner, this Samaritan. Let's take a look in Acts chapter 10. Now we could leave Luke 17 behind. We're done with Luke 17. But if you come to Acts chapter 10, because as the church was being formed and started, we know they had to learn this lesson that the gospel was for all people. And all the activity was centered around Jerusalem and the Jews at first, but the gospel was for all people, for all men. And so remember this story in Acts chapter 10 where Peter is shown this sheet, this vision. He sees this sheet coming down with all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things in there. Kind of, I think I'm thinking of salamanders and creepy crawlers and things. That's what I get the picture of. And this voice comes out. This is Acts chapter 10. I'm telling the story where the Peter is told, arise, kill and eat. And what is, you know, Peter's response is, no, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. But that voice says again, notice verse 15 of Acts chapter 10. This voice says to him a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. God has cleansed it. You must not call it common. So Peter is shown this vision, as we know in Acts chapter 10, three times. And then he finally gets it. He understands what it means as he's going to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius in this story is a Roman centurion, a foreigner. But he's a devout man, a just man. And God has called him to salvation. And that word needs to get to him. And so God sends Peter. And Peter gets it as he goes into Cornelius's home in the city of Caesarea, which is on the seacoast of Israel. It's a Roman city built by Herod the Great. If you go there today, and we would have gone if we were going to the feast in Israel and seen the ruins, this is a big Roman city. It's a city of foreigners. This is where Peter goes. This is where Cornelius is. And he comes into Cornelius' house and he understands the message. Verse 28, as he goes in, he says to the group, the gathered there in Cornelius' house, verse 28, you know how it is unlawful for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. No man. So now, how fitting that is in the story of the grateful leper. This is showing us, brethren, that God's will is for all men to have this salvation. Even a Samaritan, even a leper who is considered cursed and outside of the city, he too can be cleansed by faith. A few chapters later in Acts chapter 15, as the church is learning this, remember the Jerusalem conference? And there Peter stood in front of the gathered brethren as they're debating the issue of circumcision. And what does Peter say as he stood up? He says and recounts the story of him going in to Cornelius. And he says this in verse 8 of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 8. Is he telling the story of that conversion of these Gentiles? So God, verse 8, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he has made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. He made them clean, purified by faith. And that's how the leper is also cleansed. So, brethren, I think you could say, if you look at this 9-verse-long episode in the life of Christ in Luke 17, there is tremendous meaning in it for the ministry of Jesus Christ, for one thing, to continue even to his death. Even with the foreboding of his death, he's carrying on his ministry as he's going to Jerusalem. And he comes into this foreign city, a city of foreigners in Samaria. Apparently there in Samaria, because the man was a Samaritan. And this leprous colony was there isolated according to the law of the priesthood, which was extant in the land. And it had been for centuries there. The law of the priesthood was there. As we looked in 2 Kings 17, we saw they started to go and follow the laws of the land. But they were foreigners, outcasts. We also see Christ upheld those laws for the sake of the people, for the sake of the law itself being for our good. We can also see, brethren, in this story that the leper was separated, isolated for his uncleanness, as we have been separate from God for our uncleanness. And also we can see that our high priest, Jesus Christ, has come to us outside the city. He's come to us as the high priest, and what's he looking for as the high priest or the priest in Leviticus is inspecting us? He's looking, he wants us to be clean. And that, if you think about what the priest is called to do in Leviticus, he's inspecting the leper for cleanness. And the lepers, they cried out for mercy, believing Jesus could heal them. And they did. He did, by faith, healed them. And we believe likewise in the healing, forgiving power of Jesus Christ. So we are like, brethren, in this story, the grateful leper in many ways. We give thanks and present ourselves now to God for his salvation. Let's go to one final scripture, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, I think you'll see how this perfectly fits as the final verse here, Hebrews 13. We are the foreigners. We are the lepers. We were the ones alienated from God by our sins, but now he has come to us outside the city and brought us near to him through faith in Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 13, verse 12, a couple verses here. And therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He's our high priest. And therefore, let us go forth to him, verse 13, outside the camp, like the leper goes to the priest who comes to him outside the camp. Let us bear his reproach. Let us bear his reproach because, verse 14, we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. We are now like the outcasts. We're like the foreigners. We're like the lepers. No continuing city, but seeking one to come. And therefore, like the grateful leper, let us come before him, verse 15, continually to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So brethren, again, you see the deep meanings in this episode and the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry for us, the lessons that we are like the grateful leper. Let's therefore present ourselves completely in thanksgiving and sacrifice to our high priest, showing him our cleansing, showing him that we are clean, and therefore offer us ourselves completely for his service.